Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
We have been learning quite a few things about who we are in Jesus over the last couple of weeks, have we not? I have been greatly helped by this. Even just like in the very beginning part where we learned about how all of the privileges that we have because we are in Jesus, especially concerning the fact that we have the special privilege of being the son, the daughter, the creator of all things. that phrase right there, if you think about how amazing that is. I am the son of the creator of all things. I am the daughter of the creator of all things. That right there, in and of itself, is an amazing, amazing privilege that we have been given. And that can only, that direct access to God can only be had through Jesus. He gives it fully and freely. I get to go to my Heavenly Father with no fear, no worry. I can go confidently and boldly to Him because I am His Son. The God of all creation accepts me as a son. That's just amazing. That's just amazing. We're going to look at the follow-through of what that means here in a second. But let's take a look real quick, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of verses that remind us of this because it's going to help us a lot. It says in verse 3 of Ephesians 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." In Christ. Verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us in him," Jesus, "according as God the Father hath chosen us in Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Verse 5, "having predestinated us according unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Today, we're going to look a little bit deeper in this amazing relationship that you and I have because we are in Jesus. It's one thing to be accepted by God, right? That's an amazing thing, just to know that God accepts you and welcomes you as his child. But that is literally just the beginning of our relationship with God, the creator of all things, because we are in Christ. In verse 4, go with me real quick to verse 4. It says this, "according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy," it says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 4 says that God welcomes us as holy and blameless in love. And this is what I want us to see. And it's one thing to be accepted by our Father, but it's even better to be loved by our Father. There's a whole amazing aspect of this. Because you are in Christ, you are accepted and loved by your Heavenly Father. You look through the Bible, this is amazing too, because if you look through Scripture, there are so many ways that God shows us all the different ways in which he displays his love to us, right? There are so many of them, it's going to be impossible for us to go through them all, but I want to point out three different ways in which God loves you because you are in Jesus. We're going to look at that. We're going to start, first of all, we're just going to see the aspect of how God loves us in Jesus. And we're going to start by going to a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples in John 16. And to kind of help us get what we're talking about here, John 16 is basically right in the middle of a conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples on the Last Supper before he is about to be crucified. This is a very intimate, very special conversation that Jesus is having with the disciples. He's basically letting them know what's going to happen. He's walking them through it. And he's talking about his death, how he's going to be dying, but then also his resurrection. And then also even after that, a little bit of the Pentecost, what the Holy Spirit, giving the Holy Spirit to his disciples. And all of these things, he's kind of having this intimate conversation with his disciples before he goes through what he's going to go through in order to help them and to prepare them for what's to come. John 16, we jump into the middle of that. In verse 20, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament," talking about his crucifixion. "Ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy," talking about his resurrection. Verse 21, he's describing that process. "A woman, when she's in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." And this same thing. Listen, guys, this is what it's going to be like. You're going to be struggling. It's going to be sad. It's going to be difficult. But when the moment of joy comes, you're going to forget all that. It's just going to be amazing. Remember that when the day of resurrection comes. This is kind of the aspect. Verse 22 says this, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy, no man take it from you." This is what Jesus is reminding his dear disciples. And in this conversation, Jesus starts to transition his conversation. This is what's going to happen. You will have sorrow, but you will have joy, and the joy will overwhelm the sorrow that you experienced before the joy. Now he transitions a little bit of his conversation to, okay, well, let's talk a little bit about praying for a second. See, Jesus had taught his disciples to pray, but in this conversation, he actually teaches them about how they will be praying. Matthew 6 talked about that, you know, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus is like, you know, this is what you do. This is how you pray. This is a little bit more behind the scenes of what's going to happen in their praying, right? As I was reading this, I was really impressed by the fact that Jesus teaches his disciples an aspect of prayer that you and I kind of take for granted because it's something that we've only experienced. But what Jesus is about to tell his disciples is a very fresh, very new thing that these disciples have never experienced before. For the disciples, these disciples have only been in the physical presence of Jesus, right? They have been walking with Jesus. They've been talking with Jesus. They've been spending the night with Jesus. They've been waking up and eating breakfast with Jesus. And all of these physical aspects that you and I have very little familiarity with Jesus, this was their experience with Jesus, right? Soon, Jesus will no longer be with them, and they're about ready to experience life without the physical presence of Jesus. Jesus is preparing them for that new experience. Specifically, the experience of praying directly to their Heavenly Father without Jesus by their side. This is what he says. We keep reading. We're in 22. Let's keep reading. Verse 23 says this, "And in that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Verse 24 says this, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name." Ask the Father, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 25, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father." Verse 26, "At that day ye shall ask in my name, And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. This is really interesting. Let's go to verse 28. I want to finish it. Oh, no, that's it. Verse 27, right? No, wait, where am I at? Verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you because ye have loved me and believed that I came out from God. So Jesus is walking them through this new experience of praying to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, right? It seems that up until then, when the disciples would need something, Jesus would ask the Father on their behalf. We see this often, Jesus praying for them. But now it's different. Jesus said, there's going to be a time when you won't need to ask me for things. You're going to start asking the Father in my name. I know this is new for you. This is not something you've done before, but I want you to start asking the Father directly and asking him in my name. From now on, I'm not going to ask the Father on your behalf. Instead, you get to ask the Father directly by asking him in my name. Why is that? What's the reason that we get to do that? The answer is in verse 27. Verse 27 says, for the Father himself loveth you. Because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Because you love me, because you have faith in me, my Father loves you. The love of the Father for a child. How does he show this love toward us? There are a couple of ways. The first one is how he provides for us. The Heavenly Father loves us by showing us his provision for us. All throughout Scripture, in fact, even this is really interesting, because our Heavenly Father provides for us, we can see how Jesus has been teaching this truth, the Father caring for his children, even to the disciples, from the very moment they even asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. He describes what praying is like in preparing them for this new aspect of life of being without Jesus, but still being able to ask the Father for things in the name of Jesus. Look what he says in Matthew 6. This is the part that's interesting. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Are you not much better to whom? To whom are you not much better? To whom are you more valuable? Your Heavenly Father. You are precious to him. And he makes sure that you are cared for. So when you talk to him, know that. You do not have to impress your Heavenly Father. This is an amazing thing to think about. Sometimes we get caught up into the praying in a fancy way, praying in a way that kind of has a flow, a melodic flow of fancy words, and kind of like, you know, displaying to our Heavenly Father the beauty of the request with which we ask him, so that he may perchance answer our somewhat needy needs, so that he may be glorified through the very request with which we ask him, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm talking about? You know, sometimes we pray like that, right? We get caught up in that. We don't have to do that. We can just talk to God and ask him like a child asks Father. Dad, can you get me breakfast? Our Heavenly Father, my physical earthly Father, would you bestow upon me the grace of fetching the milk and the cereal, wherewith my soul and my physical hunger may be satisfied, and that you may be glorified from the milk and cereal that I have consumed in your name. We don't have to do that. Praise Jesus. It's because of Jesus that we don't. We just say, Father, I need help. And he loves me and he cares for me. In fact, this is what he says, Matthew 6, we're in 26, we're going to scoop up a little bit under the chapter. And it says this, Matthew 6, chapter 6, says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Verse 7, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." See, our Father sees us. He knows what we need. I think of this in two different, I think of like this section here reminds me of the way we see two different dads. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, the Father needs, my Father knows what I need of before I ask him. So why does he need me to ask him? Why doesn't he just provide my needs? Now think of two fathers, and you probably can kind of relate to this. The difference between two kinds of dads. One dad meets all his child's needs and even his wants. But he never talks to his child, and his child never talks to him. They don't communicate. And with no communication is no connection. Sure, the needs may be met, right? But the love is not felt by the child or the father. This is one of the reasons we see our Heavenly Father just having this desire, talk to me. Just talk to me. You think of a father and son who enjoy talking to each other. "Dad, can you get me this toy? Dad, I really want this toy." "Well, son, what are you going to use the toy for?" "Well, I have a friend down the street who I really enjoy playing with, and I think this will be really helpful for us. Like, we can play so much more together if I have this toy. We could, like, I could share with him, and it would be so awesome." That's what I thought. In fact, I already bought you the toy. Go up to your bedroom. It's right there sitting for you. "What? Oh, Dad, you're awesome. Oh, you're so cool." You know, that kind of thing, right? "Oh, by the way, Dad, can I have some ice cream?" No, it's too close to supper. You're going to ruin your supper, and your mother wouldn't like you. Not like you, like that. Your father already knows what's best for you, but he still says, "Talk to me. I like hearing your voice." Who does that? Somebody who loves his child. Somebody who enjoys the time, the presence, his child coming to him, talking to him, and sharing with him. In the same way that our Father loves to meet our needs, he also loves to reward us. There's a similarity in the response of the Father from verse 6 to our next passage. In verse 6, verse 6, it talks about how we take time to get alone and talk to our Father and trust him with our needs. And he says, the Father responds to that, "Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." There's an aspect of our Heavenly Father when we just get alone with him, when we just enjoy spending time with him, not the open, flamboyant aspect of being in the presence of God, but just that intimate being with our Father and asking him to care for you. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly shows up in another aspect of who we are as his children. And we go a little further up into the chapter, Matthew 6, verse 2. It says this, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms," when you give, when you show others how you give for them, or you show your Heavenly Father your love for him by how you give to others, "don't sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward already." That's all good. They've already been taken care of. "But thou, when thou doest thine alms," when thou doest alms, "let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." He's saying do it in secret. I'm not saying like, you know, secretly, like hide your left hand so you can't. He's saying doing it in secret. Why? Verse 4, "that thine alms may be in secret." Why? thy Father, here we see it again, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. You know what this is describing? It's describing a proud papa. You do things in secret, I will reward you openly. It's like a dad who goes around to all his friends to post something on Facebook. Look at what my kid did. Oh, man, I tell you what, I'm so proud to be his daddy. That kind of thing. It's a dad. It's like that. He posts on Facebook or Twitter to see what, to let everybody know what his son or what his daughter did. And it's like, I'm blessed. I have such a good child. I have such a good kid. For the things that we do in secret. This is exactly what our Heavenly Father has done for and will do for his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Look what it says in Philippians 2:8. It says this. Philippians 2:8, and being found, this is Jesus, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Death, Jesus, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, wherefore God, this is God's response to Jesus is humbling himself. And God responds this way, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. This is a proud papa proclaiming to everyone what his son has done. Just as God the Father publicly posts to the Facebook and Twitter of the universe, this is my son, check him out. Look at what he has done. I'm his dad. Just like a son who hits a baseball and hits a home run, you can hear the loudest voice, that's my boy. So our Father does for us. That's my boy. He's the best. So also he does for each of us as we show our love to him by loving others. Not publicly, not on display, just loving others as we can here and there. Regardless of whether other people see it or not, it doesn't matter because our Father sees us. This is something interesting that I want you to think about. Your Father sees you, watches you. He cares about you enough to pay attention to your daily life. You don't have to grab his attention. Hey, Dad, check this out. Hey, Dad, check this out. No, he's already watching. This is the amazing thing about your Heavenly Father. He sees you. He has interest in you. That's a sign of his love for you, that he cares enough about you, that he pays that much attention to the things you do, not just in public, but also in private. Lastly, our Father loves to comfort us. Our Father loves to provide for us. Our Father loves to reward us. But our Father also loves to comfort us. You see, a father loves his child not only when he's thriving, but also when he's hurting. As God's children, while we may want to, we don't always do our best for him, do we? There are times that we go through struggle and times that we go through difficulty. Sometimes they're our fault. Sometimes we just mess up. Sometimes we go through those struggles or difficulty because of somebody else's fault that may not be our own. Sometimes those struggles and difficulty are actually a part of God's plan for us to grow. We're just not aware of it. Regardless of the struggles and difficulties that we go through, regardless of whether it's our fault, somebody else's fault, or even part of God's plan, those times hurt. You experience frustration and confusion. You don't know what to do to relieve the pain that you're going through as you're going through those difficulties. But even in those times, we can know the love of our Father. This is what 2 Corinthians 1 describes that love as. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says this, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, mercies for when you mess up, the Father of mercies for when you mess up, the God of all comfort when it's not your fault, or when it's times when you're going through difficulty. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." God comforts you. You can find comfort for the difficulties that you go through. When it's your fault, it's still okay. He's full of mercy. He's so merciful to you. Even when it's not your fault and you don't know why you're going through it and you can't figure it out and it's like, man, I don't get it. He still gives you comfort. That very comfort with which you receive because you are loved by your Father, the comfort you get to share as His child. You are loved. The Father of Jesus is your Father and you are loved by Him. This is literally the tip of the iceberg of what God's love, your Heavenly Father's love is for you because you are in Christ. An amazing gift that we have, an amazing relationship that has been given to us because of who we are in Jesus. You are provided for, you are cared for, you are rewarded, and you are comforted because of your Heavenly Father who loves you in Christ. Thank Him for that and respond in that by having that same love and care for around you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for reminding us again of who you are. The special gift that we have, the special privilege of being called your child. Not just the fact that we get to come to you and you accept us and you receive us, but more than that, that you love us and care for us deeply so that you see us, your attention toward us is consistently displaying your love for us. Help us to respond to that. Enjoying being in your presence by coming to you like a child comes to his father, enjoys the time that they get to hang out and spend time together. Let our relationship towards you be that way as well. Thank you for loving us. Thank you so much for providing for us, for rewarding us, for comforting us. In this name.